Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Tom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Auto Group Studios, experience the power of one with 8 brands and 25 locations. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
All right, it is Dom time. Welcome in. Great guest coming our way. By the way, I usually don't say stuff that far out, but Monday at 2 o'clock, Jack Cittarelli will be here. And this is a raging story right now. Democrats fighting back with their allies in the media to say that Mikey Sherrill is the only wronged person here. Why did that information go out? Criminal investigation. All she has to do at this point is release the documentation, which I believe she has, indicating why she wasn't allowed to walk at graduation and wasn't in the yearbook. Just release specifically her claim she wouldn't rat out her colleagues. Okay, we'll see. We'll be talking with Dawn Fantasia about that. There could be developments around it. It is a huge story because I think that this is really giving more momentum to Jack Cittarelli. Of course, the Comey matter is bubbling up as we speak. And there's a couple of other things, too. Still more on the shooting in Dallas. We have the Chester County story that I want to get to. They now have a human relations board. They continue to tax people. They continue to create more of these quasi-government agencies that go after people, and yet they still get voted back in office. All right, so phone lines are 855-839-1210. You get on board. AT&T and Verizon Wireless, just push pound 1210. This will be cut six. Brett Tolman is a guy that we're trying to get on, former federal prosecutor. And whenever we have anything like this, we see Tolman on Fox. He was on with Laura Ingraham and others trying to tell us exactly what is the point of demarcation here with Comey. What is it exactly? And I'll play you the exchange he had with Ted Cruz. It wasn't even in person. It was during COVID. It's at the center of the Comey, McCabe, who lied, who didn't lie. The big story here, though, is this gets to Russiagate. It gets to all the stuff that's going on with the Russian hoax up and down the line. It also gets to that Trump ran on accountability. Now, you know, do I want the president publicly out there pushing this along? No, maybe more behind the scenes. But absolutely, we do need to have accountability. And Comey is one of the people that has to be held the most accountable. We'll see when he goes through the legal process what happens. Perjury here, that might be, you know, that's a more difficult charge than you think to prove. But I think this is eminently provable of what went on. So here's Tolman, Brett Tolman, talking about the indictment, talking about exactly what the grand jury and what Pam Bondi is saying Comey did that gets him to this level.
And we'll see what all the details are in the indictment.
We have the moment that I think is really pivotal for for this obstruction of justice and perjury indictment that's about to be handed down. Let's watch.
Did you show copies of your memos to anyone outside of the Department of Justice?
Yes.
And to whom did you show copies?
I asked, President tweeted on Friday after I got fired that I better hope there's not tapes. I woke up in the middle of the night on Monday night, because it didn't dawn on me originally, that there might be corroboration for our conversation. There might be a tape. And my judgment was I needed to get that out into the public square. And so I asked a friend of mine to share the content of the memo with a reporter. Didn't do it myself for a variety of reasons, but I asked him to because I thought that might prompt the appointment of a special counsel. And so I asked a close friend of mine to do it.
Okay. All right.
It's amazing to hear that all these years later. But explain to our viewers why that moment was so important.
Here,
what did we learn
Coleman.
About Jim Comey?
Yeah.
What we learned was he's willing to try to explain his manipulation, and he got caught. He knew he was going to be caught, that he had leaked information to the media, which is a violation of not just internal protocols, but can be criminal obstruction. And we later would find out that he would lie to Congress and to others about it and about his role in actually trying to manipulate the media in a direction that he wanted that would go after President Trump. And Laura, remember, this is just obstruction and it is lying to federal officials. But remember, this is what Jim Comey pursued vigorously against General Flynn. This is what Jim Comey has prosecuted and pushed through prosecution of other individuals very vigorously. So now we learn why he was backpedaling, why he was trying to explain his prior action.
Yeah, great.
All right. Now, that's a key fact there. Okay. Now, we don't want to do whataboutism. We don't want this weaponization to go on forever and all the rest of it. They've already done it multiple times. So they mentioned General Flynn, who got caught in this much in the same way that Comey might be caught up in it. That's the point Tolman is making there. That's why some degree of accountability with this is necessary, and there will be more. And they played the exchange or the prelude to the exchange where he wouldn't answer about who's telling the truth here on this. McCabe, who suggests that he was ordered to be leaking this stuff, or Comey. Now, why they didn't go after the third charge here is anybody's guess, but we do have two charges. It's going to be a long process, probably take a year or more. You'll hear a lot about it. And the mother load of it goes back to Russiagate, Steele dossier, something that never seems to go away. But I come back to, and even some people on the other side, that are reasonable. They'll make the point. It's a tell if they're reasonable or not. Trump ran on stuff like this. He said he was going to go to do this. And the big 30,000-foot picture, rather than all the minutia, is will this be seen as accountability or will it be seen as just Trump on a revenge tour? If it's a revenge tour, a lot of Trump supporters still might want that if that's all that it is. If it is seen more beyond that, it brings more people in. That's what the key issue. And again, what does it depend on? It depends on specifics that will start to unfold as we get more into this. But as of now, it is a big moment. You don't see anything like this every day. And I can't emphasize enough, this is going on forever. You know, it just never seems to end. But maybe we are seeing, with accountability, some of an end to it. Now, it triggered in me last night where I knew this was going to go after we had Matt Rooney on right in the middle of this yesterday with Mikey Sherrill. The archives again. Remember the archives with Trump? There was a FOIA, Freedom of Information Act, asked by, shall we say, an ally of the Cetarelli campaign about Sherrill. They were looking around at her military background because there were some suspicions about, I don't know if I call it stolen valor, but you know, claiming more than she really did in the military. You know, standard procedure in a campaign. And she's right. For once we have a Democrat, I'm on this side, to use her military experience. It's refreshing when we have somebody in the military, but you better be dead solid right that what you're putting out to the public is accurate. So when this FOIA Act went through, and I'll play you Cheryl's response at a town hall last night. What happened is, I think they did give too much information, but they did. And this information indicates the cheating scandal going off, and she was at the Naval Academy, and how, as a result of some aspect of the cheating scandal, she was not allowed to walk in graduation and wasn't in the yearbook, even though she got her commission. She maintains it's because she wouldn't, her words, rat on some colleagues. I think it's electrical engineering is the exam they all fear there. It's supposed to be really tough, even though she might have had some knowledge of this. It's going to be interesting to see how that would play out in Jersey. I don't want to be a rat. Jersey again. Here we go. It's a ratting thing. Or was she complicit in this in some way? Now, we have Stacey Garrity coming on, and you know, I'll just ask her. She's not involved with this, but fully, I'll just ask her about this, what you swear to do in a situation like this, and it's obvious. You do have a duty on one hand to come forward if you have information on something that's violative for the code of honor. But in a political election, are people going to say, yeah, that's a huge failing? Okay. Now, if she's asked directly, if, you know, we're going up and down the line and she somehow or another will not answer that, well, what's ratting? You know, this is a duty, is the argument on one side. So I need to hear from military people how they feel. And that's going to be colored by the fact that she has not been not just transparent. How did she make such a killing in the stock market routinely? And she pretty much, oh, my husband handles all that. Wait a minute, lady. You want to be the governor handling all this money? No. So there's an issue there. Both the insider trading sensibilities, and now with this, and it's not going to go away. So the Democrats' angle of attack is to say that this is something that might be criminal behavior on their part. I don't see criminal behavior there. If you put a FOIA Act, a Freedom of Information Act in, and they give you the information, they give you the information. Now, did they follow a proper procedure here? I'm very sensitive to this. We all ought to be, particularly with military people, about what should be given out and what should not be given out. Aside from the partisan part of this, this may be over the line, but the information's out there now. So what she should be made to do, if she wants credibility, is release what she has on the reason why, specifically in writing if possible, that she was not able to walk in graduation. Here's what she said. I think this was a town hall last night. This is cut 14, and she's firing back saying the onus is on Jack Cettarelli.
To have a guy I'm running against who will stop at nothing, who will illegally obtain records, it's just beyond the pale.
The National Archives admits it mistakenly released files from her time at the U.S. Naval Academy, records showing she was barred from walking at her 1994 graduation for failing to report classmates who cheated on an exam. Cheryl herself was never accused of cheating. She spoke to a crowd of more than 100 at the event moderated by Eyewitness News reporter Anthony Johnson.
Hold it there for a second, Henry. You know what? This is the news media again. I don't know that that's a fact. What the news media should have said there was, she claims that it was because of that. We don't know one way or another, in fairness here. That's why we need to see the documentation. She says that. They just reported it as if that's been factually, that's at the heart of it. If that's true, then we have something else. Did she just not want to, quote, rat here? All right, continue.
Baptist Church in Plainfield.
There was a test at the school that was stolen. I did not realize that it was stolen. I took the test. Afterwards, I knew what the rumor mill was. I knew people who were implicated in it. I didn't come forward with that information.
The documents surfaced after an ally of Cettarelli filed a Freedom of Information Act request. Officials say the archives failed to redact sensitive details, including Cheryl's social security number and home address. Now, House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries is calling for a criminal investigation, accusing the Trump administration of weaponizing the documents to boost Chitterelli in a race that polls currently show as neck and neck.
They will be held accountable.
Chitterelli,
okay, there we go.
Thanks,
Henry. Jeffries there. Look, releasing your Social Security number and your home address, that's unforgivable, the guy that did it. I'm sorry, it is. Can't be doing that. Got to bring that guy in, get to the bottom up. Nope, it's oversight. No. I don't want anybody to have their Social Security, home address. Nope. Now you can claim, well, we want the Social Security number to see about some other things here. Nah, we're not releasing Social Security numbers. No. When people serve in the military, there's a certain right of protection here. But now that it's out there on the issue of the cheating and not walking in graduation, in a court of public opinion, she's got to produce the evidence that that's all that it was, that she would not. Then we get to the issue. Okay, is that something? And I need some military people. Now, remember, you're not in the field. It's not in combat or anything. But is that code something that disqualifies you? Or could you make an argument you are not going to sink these other people here, even though you were not involved? And I don't know how voters are going to look at that. But as where it stands now, this all cuts toward Chitterelli's favor because this is all in doubt and because she has a history of this with the insider trading vibe that we have with all the money she's made. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210, AT&T and Verizon Wireless. All that you have to do is push pound 1210. Side question today. I'm the one that came up with this one, so I think it'll be an all-time great. Well, if it doesn't, Henry had a large part in it, though. Just saying, just in case.
Nice.
And
just
Mikey Sherrill was right there, and she wouldn't say anything. That Mikey Sherrill should have stopped this right now. She doesn't get to walk in a 1210 graduation. Okay. All right, so I think it was yesterday or today. It doesn't matter. But this week was the anniversary of the first Nixon-Kennedy debate. This is the first televised debate. Arguably ever, you know, everybody says, yes, nothing was televised before this. And people that listened on radio thought Nixon won. People that watched on TV thought, oh, man, Kennedy, look at this guy. It's unbelievable. And look at Nixon. Oh, man. Nixon actually had them go and get some rouge or something from a drugstore he put on.
Oh, no, really?
Oh, yeah, yeah. At the last minute, Kennedy allegedly was on the rooftop with some women being tanned for a day and a half or so, the hotel rooftop. Nobody could look better than Kennedy. I don't know. You know, it'd be like, give up. You're not going to look as good. So anyhow, I thought we've never done this. That all-time TV moment. Hopefully you witnessed it live. Maybe it could be a fun one to you. Maybe it could be a serious one. Maybe it was a dynamic one. No, you can't say Budge Wire. Can't say Budge Wire. No Budge Wires. All right. Don't call Kirk now. No Budge Wires. But the Jack Ruby shooting Lee Harvey Oswald on national TV on a Sunday morning definitely has to rank up there. The other one I'd say, because I was going back and forth on the phone to come in and do the show, is when the tower fell and events of that day. There could have been others. You know, the plane crashing in. That's not a big moment because we didn't know anything. Our plane went off and it crashed into the building. But then when the fire was that enormous, people started to think, well, wait a minute. That's kind of unprecedented.
Yeah, this is something's off here.
Yeah, and when the tower falls, it's like, oh, my God, yes. And the Pentagon was even more visual by that point. All right, so those are mine that I'll take off for now. 855-839-1210. All right, Henry, what do you say?
Yeah, so I didn't necessarily see this live, but every time I see it, I got to think, like, man, what a time to be alive. What a time. And that would be the first time the Beatles were on the Ed Sullivan Show.
That's a great one.
And you can't even hear them playing at all because everyone in the crowd is screaming their heads off. I mean, what an infuriating experience if you were at home that night thinking, like, oh, man, I'm finally getting to see the Beatles play on TV, and you can't hear a word.
I think you still were excited, though, which is hysteria. Even though they're secondary band, official position of the show, here's the position paper to the Stones. Yeah, that is a great one. That was a a moment that, you know, and Ed Sullivan, of all guys, Tocho Jibo. You know?
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Any others?
Yeah. How about I take a scripted moment off, off too? Watch this one in real time. How about the demise of the great show Game of Thrones? Absolutely tarnishing their legacy in real time for a, what, a six-episode season, final season, right, that just fell flat.
Well, you're
in every
really
sort
a defender of Game of Thrones.
I am, yeah, but that last season was, I mean, hot garbage. Turned it from an all-time show into just to a good
show.
Yeah,
it's still an all-time show, even though I only saw one episode.
I think it's disgraced. I don't think it's an all-time show. I don't think people don't have that conversation with it because of that.
I'll take one off, too, so we can show people it doesn't have to be real life, et cetera. Mm-hmm. I like the Sopranos ending.
Yeah, I
do.
Still
go wild.
Yeah. Going to black, and all, I thought it was creative. Yeah, yeah, people scream to the TV.
No one else has done anything like that. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I mean, everyone thought their TV had broken.
Exactly.
They were like, oh, did my cable go out? What happened here?
And the touch to have the members-only jacket thing. Oh,
yeah.
Perfect. That's what those guys would wear. They probably would have a jogging suit on, but that's another story. Yeah. All right, Kirk, how about yours?
All right. Well, for one, you took mine.
Okay.
Now, the other that I had, I can't remember the name of the title, but it was on ABC, and it was about a nuclear bomb being dropped off. It was like the last day on Earth, and they had it broadcasted.
Right.
I can't remember the name of the show off the top of my head.
Day after.
But it was real, but it was like, you know.
Yeah, I know.
I can't think of it, but
it was in Kansas was the setting of a lot of it.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
The day after.
That's it. Yeah. That's it. That was like a shocker.
It was chilling.
Yeah,
particularly the electromagnetic pulse, what that does, the whole thing.
Exactly right.
And they're at the football game, and the Rockets are leaning from our side, and they're cheering them for a second.
Right.
And they're thinking, uh-oh, you know what it means? Mm-hmm. Some of the other ones. Yeah.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's a good one.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Wide field on that. Do you have it? No Budge Wire. 855 839-1210. We're going to talk with the great Scott Jennings at 12:30 today. He's back doing his radio show in person with an audience, et cetera, there at Penn State. And he's lived to tell about it. Stacey Garrity and Dawn Fantasia for the Chitterelli campaign, sort of breaking us down the latest on Mikey Sherrill. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it is Dom time. Phone lines are 855-839-1210. Meanwhile, in the middle of this, Chuck Todd, with all that's going on that we've talked about with ICE agents, how under fire they literally are. Here's Chuck Todd today, still wanting to go after them, using the same tired but over-the-top rhetoric about Nazis, etc. Here's what Chuck Todd said.
I'm not going to sit here and say ICE is bringing this upon themselves. But why are we masking the agents when they come after people? This is America. This is not jackbooted thugs coming in at the, you know, that is not what America is supposed to be. And so all of this stuff is going to get met when you sort of govern in a nihilistic way. You're going to end up creating a lot of nihilists. And that's a very scary proposition for those of us that would like to live in free, normal America.
All right, so I'm not going to say it. And then, buddy, you said it. We're creating nihilist. And that's a great word. You're going to hear more about it. And I think it's true with a lot of these shooters and a lot of people. Who's creating that? The mainstream world, somehow or another, is creating that because of Trump, but not calling Nazis fascists, cheapening the word. Hey, Chuck, step up. If you want to say that we're creating that, do it. Don't say, I'm not going to say that, and then go right down that path. So even in the middle of this, and he doesn't know why they would be wearing masks. How many times have we been through this? But it is a Rorschach test on how you feel about law enforcement. If you get it, if they're not wearing masks, what happens with the doxing, et cetera? Is there a middle ground where they could wear a badge before they come upon people? Something like that. Or does the shirt say ICE? Does that help? Well, even then, they identify they're in a problem. Then, you know, they're undercover a bit here. These are dicey situations to take people out of this. Hey, Chuck, could it be too? You have people running around screaming at them, filming, telling people to resist. That's creating more of the violence. But these are nihilists that we're creating, according to him. Why are we letting people wear a mask? It just doesn't end. And today, I believe over in Bucks County, I think Fred Herron and what he wants to do with the aid of the immigration authorities to help against lawlessness of a sort in Bucks County. It's under fire with the ACLU, Indivisible. They're holding a big hearing. We'll see if there's any developments out of that. If they rule, can they do it or not? All right, let me go to Pat. I got an insight on this one. This is a good one as far as a big moment on TV. Hey, Pat, welcome in.
Hey, Dom. Thanks for everything you do.
Well, thank you, Pat.
Listening to the show.
Very much.
Yeah. So the thing that struck me first was Space Shuttle Challenger, made even more dramatic because we had the teacher on there and all the kids were watching it from school.
Well, let's stop it right there. That's the line. That's when they still back in the day when they used to bring in the TV sets, push the TV set into the room. And I'm told, Pat, in a lot of places, as that happened, they pulled the plug and took the TV sets out of there.
Kids were screaming.
Yeah. Yeah, with a teacher on board on top of it. We had never seen that before, and you're right. It was back in the day where they still brought that stuff to kids. Yeah.
Yep. That's my pick for the day.
Thank you, Pat. That is a great one.
I remember, like, in grade school, they almost, like, reenacted that to us. Like, they're like, all right, picture us being your age.
Right.
And they wheeled, like, the TV in for us, and they're like, imagine watching this in real time, at, you know, in fourth grade.
Exactly right. No, that's still how it was done. I don't know what they do now, if they put anything on or not. It'd be kind of difficult. But yeah, a teacher, the first time a teacher, McAuliffe, on board was going to do various things. That just made it, oh. Yeah, I don't know if they were showing him the kindergarten kids or not. Oh, my God. Well, what the heck happened?
Yeah. Went really fast. That's where it went.
Oh, yeah. All right. Scott Jennings is next, fresh off every triumph in the world at CNN. I have Martin now, right? Yeah. We'll talk to him, though, with Keith Olbermann. He was at Penn State yesterday, and find out what he's up to next. Hey, my friends at Martin Water Conditioning are celebrating their 52nd anniversary with their biggest savings event of the year. Now through the end of October, serve on better water for your entire family. We've enjoyed crystal clear drinking water, Giordano Estates, for years thanks to Martin Water Conditioning. Great opportunity for you to do the same. The Martin family is incredible to work with. Nobody is more passionate about water. Got to see the water test they do. And when they take the impurities out, it's like a magic act. Wow. Save up to $500 on select systems from Martin for your home right now. Want to improve your drinking water? Martin's is offering $100 off Kinetico's K5 drinking water system. Save $40 off UV sterilizers. Special 24-month financing available to those who qualify. Already own a water conditioning system? Enjoy exclusive offers on salt and filters when visiting one of their central Pennsylvania locations. For details, call Martin Water today or go to martinwater.com. Sale ends October 31st. Give your family the gift of better water. Do it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland. You know the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right. And the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now. All right, it is Dom time in the docket, the great Scott Jennings. But I have a bone to pick with Scott Jennings this week. He's been off all week from the 10 o'clock The Abby Phillips Show on CNN. What the heck's up with that? What could he possibly be doing? Messing up our nights. Let's go to Scott Jennings, CNN analyst. The book, problem here, Henry. I'm going to have to...
These dang screeners, man. They really do stink. Yeah. Revolution of Common Sense.
The Revolution of Common Sense. The Scott Jennings Show, too, on Salem Radio. Let's go to Scott. I want that title with the Western Civilization and apologize. We'll get that here in a second. Hey, Scott, welcome back.
Hey.
Why are you AWOL this week? You've spoiled our whole night.
Well, thank you for looking for me. I apologize for being off for the week. I just had a whole series of travel complications. I was in Hawaii giving a speech, and then I had to teach my class at Georgetown. And then last night I was in Pennsylvania.
I know you were.
I went to Penn State and spent the night there with some wonderful people. We had a few hundred folks that turned out for a debate on campus. So I've just spent some time doing a few other things. But have no fear. I'll be back at the 10 o'clock desk tonight.
Oh, okay. I'm sure they'll note that. So how did you find Penn State? Because Penn State's been problematic before. I think Riley Gaines and several people, Scott, you did your radio show from there. How did you engage without any of the usual difficulties?
Well, they asked me to come. They had a donor who was interested in putting on a debate in public who had an interest in civil and public discourse. And he, I guess, funded this idea. And I think the president, Neely Bindaputi, who, by the way, I know from Louisville, she was the president of the University of Louisville, and she's terrific. I'm a big Neely person, so... it was good to see her last night, but they had this whole idea that there should be a public debate, and then it had some crowd interaction features. Honestly, I thought it was a great exercise, and they invited me onto campus yesterday. I did my radio show from the dean's office. We had the debate last night. Several hundred people showed up, and it was really a positive experience all the way around.
Scott, I'm glad you seized on it, and they did. That's been my reaction. I'm trying to get this here in the Delaware Valley where we are. That colleges are not fulfilling their mission. Their mission should be debate, particularly after Charlie Kirk. Why in the world? And if they argue, well, we can't do it, the students wouldn't permit it. Wow, I really didn't know about the debate part. So I commend Penn State. Were there not people that jumped up and yelled "Free Palestine" or something?
I got none of that. We debated on a few topics. One was media bias. One was climate.
Okay.
And one was immigration. And of those three, I would say the immigration debate became the most emotional and the most heated. The climate debate, you know, it was energetic because my debating opponent, a liberal commentator named Molly Jong Fast, who, if you've
watched
him
at NBC, the glasses lady, yes, the glasses and hair lady,
and of course, she was a puddle by the end of the debate, and I felt a little bad for Molly because you can tell I'm literally the only Republican she knows or has ever met.
It was
a foreign experience for her, but we had interaction with the crowd and with the students, and of course, in the room. You know, public opinion was what it was. But I have to tell you, I met a lot of students afterwards who came up to me and said, look, I don't really necessarily agree with you, but I love the way you debate and the way you have facts and the way you make, you know, arguments. And Molly, and this is true for a lot of liberals, they just sort of have very vague anecdotes or very vague, you know, ad hoc examples. They don't really bring logic or facts to debates. It's just like, well, I saw a video on the internet of something that happened. How do you feel about that? Like, well, does that mean we should stop enforcing all federal laws because you saw something on the internet? Is that what you're arguing?
No, exactly. You know what? But I'm thrilled with this, Scott, because it's exactly what we've – I would hope more colleges would engage you and do that for students who actually see this type of stuff. That's what it's supposed to be about. Many colleges didn't even put out statements about Charlie Kirk.
You know, it was interesting. Charlie was at Penn State about a year ago, they told me. And we were in a building, and we were kind of overlooking the lawn at Penn State where he was. And I wore my shirt last night. I wore my Prove Me Wrong T-shirt in honor of Charlie. And I said, look, you all need to get comfortable with the idea that we're going to debate and we're going to have disagreements, and that's okay. And we may not persuade each other. You're going to live in a country full of people that don't agree with you, but that's okay. You don't have to live in a bubble. You can absolutely interact with and have perfectly normal relationships with people that you don't agree with all the time. And I think what we've forgotten how to do in this country is to disagree with each other and move forward. And disagreements have now become something more to some people. They've, in fact, become violent for some people. And so that was my message to the students last night, was debate is good, disagreements are healthy, and it's okay if you encounter someone that isn't like you or doesn't agree with you.
Scott, I'll ask you and I'll give you mine because I didn't want to put you on the spot with this. Is somebody you debated, or it was sort of like a debate where in the moment you're going, man, this is really wild. I can't get enough of this. But this other person is really good. I had Chris Christie after he hugged Obama. To that point, we got along. I had him on 7 times. He didn't do a lot of interviews. And out of the box, I went right for it about hugging Obama before the election in 2012. And he screamed at me, what exactly did I say? It was like a charging rhino. I had cotton mouth. My headset was up in the back of my head about 10 minutes in, and he told this guy, I'm going to need more time with Dom today. It was an out-of-body experience. Who is it that you may have debated? You've talked about Van Jones as a really good guy and a good guy to go back and forth with. Is there anybody you look at and say, that would be a heck of a debate?
Oh, my gosh, that's a great question. Well, I told the crowd last night, because I was asked, one of the questions we were asked was, when have your assumptions been challenged, or when have you changed your mind about something because you learned something new? And I said, I'm going to tell you right here in the state of Pennsylvania, I was probably harder on John Fetterman during the campaign than anybody in America in the political punditry class. And he has impressed the heck out of me on a number of issues, but mostly because he has a backbone and he doesn't give in to the mob on Israel or other issues. Right. And I said, my assumption was he would be like every other, you know, liberal, spineless weakling who gives in to the mob. And he's the opposite. And so that was what I said. So in terms of a debate, that's a good question. You know, I debate so many people and I encounter so many people. I'd have to think about that. There, you know, the two guys that I like to debate the most on CNN are Van and Axe.
Yes.
Because I do think they're thoughtful. They listen. The people that I dislike debating are the ones who they don't listen. They have a speech to make. They have an emotion to convey. But they're not really interested in engaging on the material. And Molly last night, I like Molly. We had a light moment at the beginning of it. But by the end of it, I mean, her closing statement started with, well, I'm going to start because Scott is not very good at taking down the temperature. And I was like, my temperature is fine. It's 98.6. What is yours?
So, you know, but so good for Penn State. I was almost finished my column on this, and now you get me the end. So did your book come up? I know, we're all set with you for Politics and Pints, et cetera. Did the book come up, and how is that going, the pre-order?
I did not speak about the book last night. We stuck to the topics. I did mention it to a few people in the hall. Pre-orders are going well, and pretty soon we will start a heavier sprint to the finish. You know, November the 18th is the release date, and sometime in October I'll start ramping up media appearances and public appearances that are specifically about the book. And I've got a number of groups that have invited me to speak. They're going to get books for their crowd. So it's all about to hit me like a ton of bricks. As if I didn't have enough to do, I'll now be on the road.
Yeah, I say this to you every time, though, but my eye goes right to Western civilization, putting that in the book.
Yeah.
I would just hope every moderator is as thoughtful as you are, that they bring that up, maybe even challenge you. And say, come on, Trump defending Western civilization, it's just America. I'd like to hear a little bit more of that. That is critical to me, what you're doing in the book with that.
I last night we sort of touched on the edge of this because part of the debate was about climate, and I immediately shifted the conversation to whether it's going to be the United States or China that controls the future of AI. And one of the decision points here is, are we going to produce enough energy to do it? And are we going to permit our culture to make enough energy to do this? And so that was sort of my argument, which is we're not going to build enough windmills to win the AI race. Okay. We're going to have to build other more efficient forms of energy. And of course I got a lot of groans. Molly was not a big fan of that. But one of the things we ended up debating was whether we should be an adversary of China. And Molly and some of the students were like, well, we should be cooperating with China.
Oh, my God.
And Molly, and of course, this goes right to the future of Western civilization. And I, you know, Molly at one point said, well, you know, China, I mean, I admit they've been a little bit of a bad actor. And I said, I said, if China's a bad actor, that's like saying Jason Voorhees wasn't a model camp counselor. Okay. This is the enemy. They are our adversary. They are the opposition, and it's going to be us or them. And this idea that we're going to somehow hold hands and sing Kumbaya with China while they eat our lunch on artificial intelligence. I mean, so those kinds of topics, they all go to the core question. What is the future of the West? And do we have a future?
And Scott,
I do think Trump is standing up for us.
That point, when they used to talk about the canon, when I went to LaSalle University, the canon of what we were going to study throughout 4 years, it was about Western thought. It was actually billed that way. That was the critical phrase you learned the first day in college.
Well, and now a lot of the books that you get assigned in colleges or the classes that you can choose from are about how the West is evil, how it's rotten at the core, how this was a terrible idea, you know, how the destruction of the West would actually be good, this whole oppressed versus oppressor framework. And that, you know, colleges and college curriculums were co-opted by people who fundamentally believe the West and America are rotten at the core. So we have to rip it out root and branch and replace it with something else and something very un-American. And so I will never back down on this. Whatever you think of Donald Trump, he is absolutely standing up for the West against a very, very powerful cabal of people and organizations that would love to tear it down.
Absolutely. And he seems to be shaking some of those Europeans, the ones that can be, into line to ally with him in their own way. And that is an ongoing story that is remarkable.
It was a disgrace, by the way, today at the United Nations, that all those countries boycotted Netanyahu's speech. Mm-hmm. Israel is a democratic country. They are defending themselves. The idea that the United Nations has become so infested with anti-Semitic and anti-Israel sentiment that they can't sit there. I mean, they would sit there and listen to five dictators before they listen to a democratically elected prime minister of a democratic nation. It's outrageous. What is going on at the UN right now? I've always resisted sort of the idea that, well, let's throw it out and defund it. I'm there. I'll be honest with you. I have gotten to the point with these guys. I don't know what they do. I don't know why they exist. They don't deliver aid to the Palestinians.
They can't run escalators too well.
No.
We know that.
No. What does this organization exist for except for self-perpetuation and anti-Semitism? I don't know what they do. I do not know what they do. I know that we pay for it. And I want them to defend Western civilization and defend the free world. And I don't think they're doing a very good job of it, truthfully.
Absolutely. Have a great show this afternoon, Scott, and tonight. And thank you. We can hardly wait till you're here in Philadelphia with us and many more conversations. And way to go for Penn State.
Yeah, good for Penn State and the new president, Neely Bindipudi. We miss her in Louisville, but she's a good one.
Absolutely. Thank you, Scott, very much.
Thanks, Dom.
All right, Scott Jennings here on Talk Radio 1210. And yeah, I'm a Penn State critic, usually. They did exactly what I'm talking about. Come on, LaSalle. I'm one of your guys. Well, not really. I mean, I'm a graduate, but a critic, but that's okay.
Yeah.
They ought to be able to deal with that. I'll debate LaSalle's president there at LaSalle. Running down the college.
I'll buy tickets.
Oh, yeah, that would be fun. 855. I could start with a community college. You know, Bradford, the guy out there in Montgomery County, we could debate over at Montgomery County Community College. Be like a Greco-Roman debate. All right.
855. Get in an amphitheater or something.
Yeah, an amphitheater. Great stuff from Scott Jennings. There's nobody like him. We'll give you more details on when he comes to Philadelphia, the whole deal with that, though, but it's going to happen. All right, 855-839-1210. You can get on board. Okay, nobody better than Scott Jennings. Unbelievable stuff, and I can hardly wait to get my hands on the book, which will be out soon. Let's go to Bill in Montco. And, Bill, you're on Talk Radio 1210. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Dom and Henry. How you doing?
Good.
Hi, yeah, Bill. I wanted to weigh in about with Mickey Sherrill.
Yes.
I went to a military college. I tried to get in near the end yesterday in the lightning round. Virginia Military Institute, VMI.
Yes.
It's a four-year, you know, accredited. It's on a par. It's not a service academy. It's not federal. VMI has an honor code. And it says that a cadet will not lie, cheat, or steal, or tolerate those who do. So you're obligated to turn in a fellow cadet if you catch them violating the honor code.
I hear you, and that's admirable. How does that play in a state like Jersey, though, if someone did not do that? Bill, I would maintain if people actually believe that, they're not going to cinder on that.
Yeah, you might be right, because the other subtlety there is I looked at the honor code for Annapolis now. I don't know what it was back in 94. West Point stipulates something similar to VMI, but the Naval Academy does not stipulate that you have to turn someone in. And I think that Mickey Sherrill, you know, by stating that so blatantly that, yeah, you know, she wasn't going to turn in a fellow midshipman, she was not violating anything, I believe, at the code at Annapolis at that point. Like I said, we'd have to go in and do some further research.
Yet they didn't let her walk in graduation, though.
Because they thought maybe she was actually cheating herself. I think that, again, that she's there's a subtlety there.
You know, yes.
She's walking that fine line. So she's got to exonerate as far as cheating herself, but she wasn't going to turn in a fellow midshipman that was cheating.
To your point, so I think, if they thought that, and there's some language that says, well, we don't know, she might have, or something like that. Now, that gets into damaging territory.
Well, the other thing, too, is I would ask her, okay, you didn't turn in your fellow midshipman who may be assigned to a nuclear submarine that fires nuclear missiles. And would you want somebody on a boomer boat that cheated on electrical engineering exam? I don't think so. I mean, that's not the type of officers we want to be putting out there. So she'd have to answer that question. And as well as going to flight school, what if she was going through her helicopter training and she saw one of her fellow aviation cadets cheating? Would she look the other way on that one, too? So I don't think she can get off the hook on this. She probably will, because I don't think it really rises to the level of, you know, anything that's really going to hurt her, especially some of her electorate. But, you know, it raises a lot of questions. It really does.
Well, it does when you co-join it with the stock insider trading allegations and vibe, Bill. It starts to become part of a pattern then.
Right. The other thing, too, is I want to make, and this is a somewhat related comment. There is a group of woke retired generals, flag officers, that are about as, you know, a rabid left as you can get.
Yeah, without
and
a doubt.
They are stirring up a lot of this, too, you know, especially, you know, the whole Hitler thing and
You
know, the authoritarian and all that.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
That's an issue, too.
Thank you, Bill.
Can I wait on my
question? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Bill. Sure.
Yeah. On a much lighter note, it was the Philly special during the Super Bowl with Nick Foles. I couldn't believe that happened. I had to look at it again, you know, the way that play came off, the score of that touchdown. You know, that was a very positive moment among, you know, very tragic moments you might see on TV.
Absolutely, Bill. It was. It was hard to believe, and I asked him extensively about that and had a lot of fun. How about when I beat Nick Foles in basketball? Was that on TV? Is that on tape?
Was that televised?
No, that wasn't televised. It didn't happen.
I would have.
All right, I have documentation. I would have.
Yeah, that and Wilt's 100-point game, not televised somehow.
All right, coming up, Stacey Garrity. Are we on deck with her? I believe.
Yes.
All right, candidate for governor, Stacey Garrity. She's got a lot to tell us. Military background. I'll ask her a little bit about the Sherrill thing and the code and all that. All straight ahead with Dom.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.